this is Larry Goins. How is everybody doing tonight? Welcome to the Inner Circle live Q&A calls, second and fourth Monday of every month. How is everybody?
Good. How are you?
Great.
Great.
Excellent. Excellent. So if you're just now joining us, if it's your first time, welcome to the live Q&A calls. There's no agenda, no topic. It's just you can ask any question you would like about anything about real estate. So let's just go ahead and jump right in and see who has a question.
Hey, no, Larry, this is Josh.
What's up, buddy?
Not much. How are you?
Good.
I have a couple questions, actually. One would be, do you have a preferable home insurance, homeowners insurance company?
Yeah,
are
you talking about, tell me what kind of insurance you're talking about.
For vacant house.
Oh, okay, like you're waiting for it to sell.
Correct.
Yeah, I use Affinity Group, and I believe their website is reinsurance.com.
Okay.
But it's Affinity Group.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. That's who I use. I've been using it for years.
And while you own the property, do you usually turn on the utilities if you still own it, if you own it for a certain amount of time before you can sell it?
The only time I ever turn on the utilities is, well, I don't turn them on myself, but the only time the utilities ever get turned on is if a buyer needs them turned on to do some kind of inspection, and I have them turn them on in their name.
Okay. Another question. Does North Carolina allow back-to-back closings?
Does North Carolina allow back-to-back closings?
Yes.
Yes, they do. There are some attorneys that may want you to record, like that may want to record one day and one the next. But you can do back-to-back closings.
Okay. And final question. Then I'll let someone else say. Ask a question.
Sure.
When you sell the property, who would you deal with to handle your 1031 exchange? And that's what you would recommend, correct?
Yes. Now, you are aware that a 1031 is only used for investment properties, not when you're, like, buying and selling and buying and selling and buying and selling.
Okay.
So you can't do, like, if you're a wholesaler or you're a fix and flipper, or something like that, you can't do 1031s with that. You can
okay.
only do 1031 for investment properties, which means, and there is no set number of months or years, but typically most people will tell you you need to hold it for over a year, at least one tax return before you you can sell it.
Okay.
But having said that, if you do use a 1031 intermediary, I would suggest first your bank, whoever you bank with. Last time I did one, that's exactly who I used, was my own bank.
Okay.
And they did give me a pretty good deal since I was borrowing money from them. So it worked out pretty good. But there's a lot of 1031 intermediaries out there, and all you have to do is just Google it, or I would check with your bank, or ask your closing attorney or title company who they recommend.
Okay.
Awesome. I hope that helps.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. My pleasure. Who else has a question you'd like to jump in with?
Two of us at once, huh? Jay and Marsha Bench in Phoenix, how are you?
What's up?
First time on our live call with you, so.
Great. Well, congratulations and welcome aboard. We're really looking forward to having you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you. So the question that I have is, best way to keep track of property leads as we're, you know, finding them, calling on them, waiting for realtors to call back? As I remember, you don't necessarily recommend a CRM system, getting that sophisticated, but how to just make sure that you can access the information you need when you need it and track the leads through the system.
Right. The simplest thing to do, it's not sophisticated, and you probably couldn't keep track of hundreds this way, but you can simply bookmark the property. For example, let's say you have a property at 125 Oak Street, okay? And let's say you offered $10,000 on it today, okay? Well, that property listing at, and this would work for, like, anything that's listed online, whether it's be a Craigslist ad or it's on Zillow or Realtor.com or whatever. So let's just say that it's listed on Zillow, and you offered $10,000. So what you could do is you could save that property in your bookmarks, but the name you save it as would be 125 Oak Street, May 9, 10K offer. So that way, you know, on May 9th, you made an offer of $10,000 on 125 Oak Street. So that's a simple way to do it. Another way you could do it is to prepare some sort of a simple spreadsheet and save it as a Google Doc. So that way you could have multiple people access it. And the third way I would recommend as you grow is to set up a CRM, something along the lines of Podio. Podio is what we use. Now, if you want a straight out of the box system where you don't have to edit it, in fact, you can't edit very much, but does have a lot of features, I would recommend RealFlow. RealFlow is the first one, or REI Black Book as the second one, or FreedomSoft as the third one. But we use Podio just because we have customized it so much. So did that help?
Great ideas. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Awesome. You're very welcome. Glad I could help. So who else has a question you want to jump in with?
Yes, Larry. This is Charlie San Antonio.
What's up? How you doing?
All right. I have a question on when we have the note already, when we've sold the property and created a note. Do you have to have the note seasoned, or is it okay to sell it like in a week or two after you create it? And then also the second part would be, where's the best place to find a buyer of a note? Because you Google that, you get a lot of responses.
Yes. Well, first of all, can you sell a note without it being seasoned? The short answer is yes. However, you need to have a note buyer that is okay with buying a new note. Now, I do sell new notes, and sometimes, you know, I sell notes that have maybe 1 month payment being made or maybe 2 months payment being made, but I do also sell brand new notes, and it's just a matter of whoever your note buyer is. It could be an individual. If you're selling to, like, a note broker or an organization, then they're probably going to want you to have some seasoning, or if there's no seasoning, then they're not going to pay you as much. As long as you realize that, that's okay, all right? That's okay. And the second part of that is, where do you find note buyers? It's really just anywhere that you would find, say, landlords. Because all a note buyer is somebody who is looking for passive income. So where would you find landlords? You can direct mail them. You can find absentee owners and do direct mail to them. You can find landlord associations and advertise at their association, advertise on their website, send out emails, flyers, become a vendor at an association. You can also post your notes on sites like loanmls.com. You can post them on Craigslist. You can even post them on eBay. There's a section for loans or notes on eBay. So there's a lot of places out there that you can sell notes. There's a lot of note buyers out there. If you just Google note buyers, note brokers, there's literally hundreds of them out there. There's just a ton of them out there. So I would just Google them and just start looking and making phone calls and see what they're buying, because each one of them has their own little specialty. So is that kind of what you were looking for?
Yes, I just got overwhelmed with the number of people, and I thought, spent a lot of time. What is typically a good ROI on a note? Like, say it was $70,000, because I had an offer for like $55,000, and he said he would buy the first 4 years for like $16,000. So I didn't know if that was a good deal or not, because the monthly income was like $350 or something.
The monthly income? Hold on for a second. Let me get out my financial calculator. Tell me the terms of the loan.
30 years, $80,000 at 7%.
Oh, I thought you said
$70,000.
$80,000. At what interest rate?
7.
For 30 years?
Yeah.
And the payment is $532 a month. Does that sound right?
Yes.
Okay. At a 12% yield, you could sell that loan for $51,743. At a 15% yield, you could sell that loan for $42,092. Now, here's the reason that you have to take such a huge discount on this loan, okay? It's because it's a 30-year loan, all right? Now, let's just back up and let me change the term to 240 months, okay, which is 20 years, and that's going to change the payment from 532 actually, to 620. It's going to go up $80, okay? Now, watch this. I'm going to change the yield to 12%. Instead of $51,000, you can sell it for $56,000, okay? And on the 15% yield, instead of, I believe it was $41,000, it's $47,000 that you can sell it for. So the shorter the term you can set your loan and the higher the payment the loan is, the less of a discount you're going to have to take. So typically, you're probably going to have to sell it for around a 15% yield. I say typically, if you're going to institutions, you're going to have to sell it for around a 15% yield if you're selling to institutions and it's not seasoned, okay? If you're selling to individuals, you could sell it for probably a 12% yield. Does that make sense?
Yes. And now, is there any advantage to selling the full payments or like versus like partial payments? Is there some strategy behind that?
Yes, and I'll tell you why. You can actually make more money by selling only 10 years, okay? Let me go back to this scenario again of $80,000, 7% for 360 months, okay? That's $532.24 a month. Let's say you only sold 10 years worth of payments, okay? 120 months worth of payments, okay, at a 12% return, okay, you would sell it for $37,000. Now, how many 10 years are in 30 years?
Three.
So $37,000 times three is $111,000. So you could sell 10 years now for $37,000. At the end of that 10 years, sell the other 10 for $37,000. At the end of that 10 years, sell the other 10 for $30,000. $37,000. That way you've sold it for $111,000. Now, why can you only get $51,000 now, or $52,000 or whatever it was? Why can you only get $50,000 now? Or you could sell 10 years for $37,000, and 10 years sell it for another $37,000, and 10 years sell it for another $37,000. It's because that second and third 10-year term is 10 and 20 years from now. It doesn't start until 10 years from now. So basically you're selling 10 years. If you sell the whole note right now, you're selling 10 years worth that starts now, and you're selling another 10 years worth that starts in 10 years, and then you're selling another 10 years worth that starts in 20 years. So if you can sell a partial, you can get much, much more money for it by selling a little bit, waiting, selling a little bit, waiting, selling a little bit. Or the best thing to do is, say you only have $30,000 in that whole transaction anyway. If you sell 10 years for $37,000, you got all your money back. You made $7,000 now, and then starting 10 years from now, you've got $532 a month coming in for the next 20 years. It's like building an annuity. Does that make sense?
Yes, makes a lot. Yes, it does.
Good, good. That's exactly why, if you can, it's more beneficial to sell partials than it is to sell a full loan, if you can. So I hope that helped. So anybody else have a question?
Hey, Larry, this is Josh again.
Hey, buddy.
Just to touch on the notes, what type of entity would you hold the notes in?
Same entity you bought the property in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, would you differentiate and keep your properties in notes in separate entities?
You could if you wanted to. Okay. What I would do if I were you, okay, if you're buying and selling notes, but you're also buying and selling and keeping notes, I would have the ones you're going to keep in a separate entity than the ones you're buying and selling the note.
Okay.
In other words, you keep your long-term investments in one, and you keep the ones you're buying and selling the note in another one, so that way you can differentiate between your business and your investments.
Okay.
Yeah. Did that help?
Yes.
Good. Good. Who else has a question?
Okay, Larry, this is Sheila. Hi.
What's up, Sheila? How have you been?
Oh, wonderful.
Good.
I just wanted to ask you, I forgot, what is the reasoning behind the HUD homes and bidding on them where they eventually might take some properties off the list?
Say that again now.
You know, on the HUD home site website.
Right.
You know, if you notice that a certain property, it hasn't been, a certain particular property has not been selected to a person or individual or whoever to have won the bid on it. And so I'm just assuming HUD took the property off the list.
Well, I'm not really sure exactly what you're talking about, because typically they'll be on there until the property is sold.
Okay, and in looking on a few, I cannot find where those particular homes where someone won the bid on and for what amount.
What do you mean you can't find where someone won the bid? They only because the house is going to be listed at HUDHomestore.com until
uh-huh.
they accept a contract. Once they accept a contract on it, you can't pull it up at HUDHomestore.com anymore. They remove it from the site.
Oh, okay. I thought they were supposed to do a turnaround within the next day or two.
No, they remove it from the site once they accept a bid.
Okay. All right. I guess I got that confused.
But now, just so you know, and so everybody else on the call knows, HUD has recently changed their asset managers, and they're trying to go to a model of one asset manager per state. Now, having said that, they're in the process of changing over asset managers. So there are some states that will have no or very, very few HUD properties listed. In fact, like in North Carolina, there's, I think, 3. In South Carolina, there's 0 right now. A few days ago, there were 3 in Alabama. Now I think there's about 30 the last couple days, you know, last week, and now I think they're up to about 100 and some. But each asset manager is going through their changes to rotate from one asset manager to the other. That's why you see no or very few HUD properties in certain states.
Okay, I noticed that.
Well, good. Now you know why.
Yes, thank you.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Anybody else have a question?
Larry, this is Ursula. I have a question.
Hey, Ursula, how you been?
Hey, I've been great. Thank you. How about yourself?
Doing good, thanks.
All right, so here's the question. There were 2 HUD properties I was interested in Florida, and I talked to the realtor, but I noticed on the MLS that they were listed withdrawn all of a sudden. And the realtor told me, that the asset manager took the properties away from him and were getting ready to put them with another realtor. Is this a time where if I'm really interested, I kind of wait until they come back? Or do I contact the asset manager, or what do I do before they
Well, that's a very, very good question. The only place that you can bid on HUD houses is at HUDHomestore.com. So if they pull it from the realtor and they take it off of HUDHomestore.com, you can't bid on it until they list it with another realtor and put it back on HUDHomestore.com. But as long as it's on HUDHomestore.com, you can bid on it.
All right. Thank you.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. I hope that helped. Anybody else have a question? You guys have had some good questions tonight. These are very good questions, deep questions. Who else has one?
Larry, this is Linda Smith. How are you?
What's going on, Linda? How you been?
I've been great.
Awesome.
I have one question. I came in a little late, so I'm hoping I don't duplicate something. But what is the best site and the best way to find out who holds the mortgage on a house and what the balance is?
Okay. Very good question. There is no real way to tell the exact balance. However, I'm going to give you a way to get an idea, okay?
Okay.
So the way to find out what mortgage is on a property is you go to the county recorder's office, and you can look it up online. Most counties nowadays are online. To find your county, go to NACO.org. NACO.org, and that stands for National Association of Counties. And then you look in the top left menu item, it'll say Find a County, and you click on that, and then you'll click on the state and the county, or type it in and then go to the county website and then go to the Register of Deeds, okay? Or if you don't want to go through all that, just go to Google. And like in Charlotte, North Carolina, the county is Mecklenburg. So you could type in Mecklenburg County, North Carolina, Register of Deeds. And it'll take you, you'll find a link to their website. So once you do that, you look up at the property by the property address or by the owner, okay? And then you look for any documents that have been filed, like mortgages, deed of trust, and then you find out when it was filed. Let's say there was a $100,000 loan filed 10 years ago. Now, if it does give the terms, a lot of times the terms are just in the note and the note is not recorded, but if it does give the terms, you could figure out what the loan balance would be using a financial calculator 10 years later. If it doesn't give the terms, if it does not give the terms, you know, you might want to take a look at it and see, well, I assume it's probably a 30-year loan. You know, back then the interest rate was X. You know, let me see kind of what the balance might be. So you could do that as well.
Okay.
And you could also, some states, depending on the state, if you go to a website like Zillow or Trulia, or if you have a subscription service like RealQuest or CoreLogic, you can get some data there, and they have information and can estimate what the balance would be.
Okay.
So
thank
I hope
you.
That helps.
Thanks.
You're very welcome. It's my pleasure. Anybody else have a question? Any more questions? Okay, going once. You guys have had some good questions tonight. Going twice. Just remember, guys, if you can't think of any questions tonight and right after we hang up or tomorrow or whenever, if you think about some questions that you have, you know you can shoot me an email, call the office anytime you want to. My email is larry@larrygoins.com. Be sure and put inner circle in the subject line, and I will answer it as soon as possible. So just remember, you can do that. And hit me up anytime you have a question, and we're here for you. And we really, really appreciate your business. We continue to get testimonials come in every single week. I haven't had any this week yet, but it is only Monday. I got two testimonials that came in last week. So you guys are out there making it happen, and I really, really appreciate your business and appreciate your confidence in us. And just know that we are here for you. If you have any questions whatsoever, we're here to help you, and we want to help you close your deals. So with that, thanks a lot, everybody, for being on. I really do appreciate it. And remember, all these calls are recorded, and you can go back and listen to the archives anytime you want to. So thanks a lot, guys. I really appreciate you being on here. I hope everybody has a great night. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Have a good night.
Thank you, Larry. Okay.
Bye.